Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
This morning we're going to read text 28, Canto 1, Chapter 6. Prayujamane mayi ta'am Shuddham Bhagavatim tanum Arabdha karma nirvano Nyapatat pancha bhautika Prayujamane maitam Shuddha Bhagavatim tanum Arabdha karma nirvano Ya patet pancha bhautika. Translation. Having been awarded a transcendental body befitting an associate of the personality of Godhead, I quit the body made of five material elements, and thus all acquired fruitive results of work, karma, stopped. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Informed by the personality of Godhead that he would be awarded a transcendental body befitting the Lord's association, Narada got his spiritual body as soon as he quit his material body. This transcendental body is free from material affinity and invested with three primary transcendental qualities, namely eternity, freedom from material modes, and freedom from reactions of fruitive activities. The material body is always afflicted with the lack of these three qualities. A devotee's body becomes at once surcharged with the transcendental qualities as soon as he gets engaged, as soon as he is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. It acts like the magnetic influence of a touchstone upon iron. Touchstone is a magnet, same thing? Yes? We don't know. Does anybody know? Nobody knows. Sounds like a magnet. Influence of a magnet on iron. The influence of transcendental devotional service is like that. Therefore, change of the body means stoppage of the reaction of the three qualitative modes of material nature upon the pure devotee. There are many instances of this in the revealed scriptures. Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj and so many other devotees were able to see the personality of Godhead face to face, apparently in the same body. This means that the quality of a devotee's body changes from material to spiritual. That is the opinion of the authorized Goswamis via the authentic scriptures. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that beginning from the Indra Gopa germ up to the great Indra, king of heaven, all living beings are subjected to the law of karma and are bound to suffer and enjoy the fruitive results of their own work. Only the devotee is exempt from such reactions by the causeless mercy of the Supreme Authority, the personality of Godhead. End of purport. This verse this morning is intimately connected with yesterday's verse. And just as a refresher, yesterday's verse was Evam Krishna Mater Brahman, the Narada is describing that after the Lord spoke with him, as was the purpose of the Lord, his mind became completely absorbed in thought of the Supreme Lord. So, in due course of time, I, who was fully absorbed in thinking of Krishna, and who therefore had no attachments, being completely free of all material taints, met with death as lightning and illumination occur simultaneously. So the Bhagavatam establishes tattva, or like reality. So while it's in one sense it's interesting, Narada's description of what happened, it's more than interesting. It's how we are, it's disclosure how we are to understand what happens. Even though we're not pure devotees and we're not Narada, and we're given truths that are beyond our experience. And one who has faith in the scripture accepts and in fact can understand truths beyond one's experience. So what happens when a pure devotee gives up their body? What happens is what Narada is describing. He is disclosing what happened. What happens? In text 27, yesterday's verse, it sounds like, or it's explicitly said that there were no material taints during his life because of his Krishna Mater. Today's verse sounds like only when he gave up his body did he get relieved from the modes of nature, the influence of karma, and things like that. Sounds like. So, in a very nice way, subtle way, Prabhupada is explaining that in the very lifetime of a devotee, going back to what it said in text 27, in the very lifetime of a devotee, their life becomes, their body becomes fully spiritualized by the influence of the internal potency, which is the force of devotional service. So I wanted to amplify that based on the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which Bhanu Swami has very kindly translated. And I'll read a portion of it. In the verse, you'll see in that third line, aparabdha karma. We're familiar with prarabdha karma, right? From Nectar of Devotion. What does prarabdha karma mean? It means that which is happening right now. You know, whatever it is that's happening right now. You know, where we are, we're in Hyderabad, and you know, et cetera, et cetera. The temperature is this and that, and so on and so on. And, you know, people and relationships and stuff. All the stuff that's going on is prarabdha karma. It's present fructification. And then there's three other layers. There's stuff that's just about to fructify, stuff that's below that, it's just beginning to sprout, stuff that's in a seed form. So there's prarabdha karma. You could say the contrasting is the aprarabdha karma. the way that he's translated Aparabdha is acquired. So distinct from that which is fructifying now, it's your stock, your warehouse of karma. We understand from verses of the Bhagavatam and many other sources that devotional service, the internal potency, like wood is burned by fire and then it's no longer wood. Similarly, karma is extinguished by devotional service. In fact, the whole Ajamila story is like a drill down on that subject matter. Even it was unintentional by calling Narayana. Three authorities, the Vishnu Dutas, Yamaraj himself, and Shukadev Goswami, all three say, karma, gone. Yes? So through devotional service, even unintentionally performed. So here's a portion of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Here is the meaning of the verse. This is not so amazing for such a type of person. What should be amazing? Even an outcast, Vidura Vigata, who chants the name of Krishna once, now, at the time of accepting the name, gives up his body. Since we do not see anyone giving up their body simultaneously with chanting, body here means his prarabdha karmas, which are being experienced in the present body. This is the opinion of some. Others say, by the association of bhakti, like a touchstone, reference of in Prabhupada's purport, like a touchstone, the body made of the three gunas becomes free from the three gunas, as seen in the case of Dhruva. Prabhupada's commentary, taking from Vishwanath. Thus, giving up the body means giving up the body made of three gunas. This will be explained in the beginning of the Rasa dance, where one becomes free from bondage. Those gopis abandoned their gross material bodies made of the gunas. Canto 10, chapter 29, text 11. But others say that sometimes the Lord shows devotees literally giving up their bodies in order that the opinion of others not be negated. Thus, Narada, who had developed prema already, gave up his body. However, it should be understood that he has already destroyed his prarabdha karmas during his practice of bhakti. Srila Rupa Goswami confirms this. He gives a quote from Namastaka. The Vedas declare, this is our translation from Namastaka 4, the Vedas declare that although meditation on impersonal Brahman cannot bring freedom from past karma, O holy name, your appearance at once makes all prarabdha karma disappear. Then the last paragraph. If the intended meaning was when Narada's prarabdha karma were destroyed, his body fell away, the phrase would have been expressed, and he cites it differently. The grammatical construction, he's saying, means that when you engage in devotional service, your prarabdha karmas are destroyed. So that means the spiritualized body, like an electrified object, or the iron being touched by a touchstone, or an iron rod in fire, any one of those that you like. Although an iron rod is not fire, when in touch with fire, becomes warm, hot, hotter, red hot. It's fire. I was listening to Prabhupada explain this example to a professor. And Prabhupada very patiently went through that example slowly and asked the man, when the question, he asked him twice, when the iron rod is red hot, is it iron rod or is it fire? He said it's fire. Then Prabhupada said, you take the iron rod out of the fire and touch it to paper and it burns. So it's fire, right? It's fire. Although it's previously iron rod. Yes, it's fire, Swamiji. So with that understanding, devotional service, you can say, proportionate to the intensity of our devotional service or absorption in devotional service, our conscious shelter-taking, note the word conscious shelter-taking, not the mechanical performance, but the conscious shelter-taking in devotional service, one's body becomes spiritualized. This, not only the soul becomes cleansed, cheto darpana marjanam, but the body becomes spiritualized. Contact with the body acts like spirit. It's something like paraphernalia that's used in worship of the deity. We call it tadiya, paraphernalia, tadiya. And tadiya is worshipable. As the deity is worshipable, the paraphernalia in worshipping the deity is worshipable. It's something like Lord Balaram's expansion, where because Balaram's mood of service, he expands into the paraphernalia of the Lord, the shoes of the Lord, the umbrella of the Lord, the clothing of the Lord, his paraphernalia. It's Balaram expanding. Little Prabhupada story. In Los Angeles, in not the present temple, but a previous temple before the present temple, Prabhupada was helping establish the Hare Krishna temple there. One devotee had gone to India. Prabhupada requested him to purchase a mridanga. And he didn't know what a mridanga was, so Prabhupada described what a mridanga is. And he brought back a mridanga. And he was, very enthusiastically, Prabhupada was seated at his desk, and he brought the mridanga. And to instruct his disciples, Prabhupada immediately got out from behind the mridanga, paid his obeisance to the mridanga, took his uttariya, the upper garment, off, and wrapped the mridanga, saying, "This is Balaram." So then later, when the devotees started making fiberglass mridangas, they called it Balaram mridangas, because the mridanga is Balaram. It's Balaram. As the paraphernalia of the deity is worshipable. So sometimes the devotees, the pujaris, hopefully with the authorization of the temple leadership, distribute the paraphernalia of the deity. And that paraphernalia of the deity is literally worshipable. It can be placed on your altar and worshipped. In our temple in Chicago, we have three altars, and the right altar is Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. Oh, they're a little smaller. And in front of them is tadiya. I thought it was a shalagram, shila, or some kind of shila. So I asked the devotees who know, and they said, no, it's tadiya. It's paraphernalia from a Nisringa temple that was used in the worship of the deity. I don't know the history beyond that, but that's what's on the altar. It's worshipable. And they worship every day. So, the body of a pure devotee is similarly worshipable. and therefore the body of a pure devotee is placed in samadhi. Doesn't mean that the body of the pure devotee won't deteriorate over time as matter deteriorates, but it's not burned, because that has a different, that the burning of the body of other than a pure devotee is done for philosophical reasons. Philosophical reasons meaning one is generally attached to the body, and the soul may not be able to go on to its next destination due to that attachment to the body, and so the body is burned. It goes on to the next destination. And I wanted to mention two other things here. One is in the purport of text 28, Prabhupada speaks of three primary transcendental qualities which are invested in a transcendental body or of the body of a pure devotee. The transcendental body is freed from the material affinity and invested in three primary transcendental qualities. So this is now speaking of that spiritual form when Narada left the material body, the spiritualized material body, he manifested his swarup, his spiritual form. So that spiritual form is invested with three qualities: eternity, freedom from material modes, and freedom from reactions of fruitive activities. So go back to the first one, eternity. Eternity, using Prabhupada's phrase, is where time is conspicuous by its absence. That is to say, time as we know it. Time is there because real time is eternal. That's real time. And then there's the other kind of time that we think about. Like, you know, it's 7 minutes after seven time. And, you know, the date and year and so many things. That kind of time. But, you know, from Lord Brahma's perspective, that's not what time it is. And from an insect perspective, that's not what time it is. In other words, time is relative. But real time is absolute. So that's eternity. But when, please remember, because I've said it two times before, so I'll say it again, for the purpose of creation, there is some very essential events to take place. The activation of matter. Matter is eternal, not created or destroyed. Einstein was right. But it sometimes manifests, sometimes not manifest. In the unmanifest state, in the Parabdha state, the glance of the Lord is required, because the glance of the Lord is very powerful. And with the glance of the Lord, because that glance has a name, Shambhu. The glance is Shambhu, because it's the glance that contacts Pradhan, not the Lord contacts Pradhan. So, Shambhu is entrusted with the time energy by Rama Devi. So you don't have creation without time. So the material body is not eternal. The spiritual body is eternal. And wherever there is eternal, then you don't have activated gunas or activated karma. During the cosmic annihilation, the living entities are within the body of the Supreme Lord, and their karma, listen carefully, their karma is dormant. Why? Because time isn't active. That's why. Therefore, it's dormant. Remember that example I gave of being under anesthesia and what that's like. There's no sense of passage of time. What to speak of? So that same susupti state of consciousness is the state during the cosmic annihilation. Because the soul is conscious, And there's three states of consciousness: awake, sleep, and deep sleep. So when we sleep at night, it's not susupti. When you're under anesthesia, it's susupti. And when you're in the body of Mahavishnu, it's susupti. So it doesn't seem like, you know, however many billions of years have passed, it's like no time has passed. Because that's the relative influence of time. But then in the manifest state, the awake state, consciousness is elevated to a degree by another influence of time. Time acts to create, time acts to destroy. Time acts to bring things into being and eliminate things that are manifest. So he specifically, in the previous verse, says, in due course of time, kala pradurabhut kale. He was waiting. In due course of time, I, who was fully absorbed in thinking of Krishna. So he was just waiting for that. He was passing his life like somebody that's a materialist is passing their life. They know that death is coming. A transcendentalist, they're passing their life. They know that death is coming. But it's a different outcome altogether. And one is, you know, looking forward to it. Not because then I won't have any misery from my body, but they'll be with Krishna exclusively in their spiritual body. Because going back to text 23, that's how this purport of 28 begins. Informed by the personality of Godhead that he would be awarded a transcendental body befitting the Lord's association. 23, the Lord said it. Because the Lord said it, he knew it would happen. He was just waiting for that. For that time. Tick, tick. And when it came, before it came, his body was already spiritualized. But that spiritualized body dropped. And the spiritual form, Swarup, manifested. And that spiritual form, this Swarup that manifested, no influence of time, no influence of the modes of nature, and no influence of karma. That's what happens when we have a spiritualized body also, the modes of material nature, because we have a body, time is acting, it's destroyed. The modes of nature are giving their impelling influence, but they're not, a transcendentalist is not subjected to that. They may be aware. Like, let's say, their body gets a rip in it. They're aware. Oh, look at that. But they're not relating to it. They're transcendental to it because their consciousness is with Krishna. Becoming conscious of Krishna doesn't mean you become unconscious of other things. You're conscious of other things. You're just not identifying with it. Very important. You know, how to live a transcendental life. It's not like we don't care. But we care, but we don't identify. You take your bath. Because cleanliness is important. But you don't identify with being the body. You put clothing on the body, but you don't identify with the body. There's various services that we do. The absorption goes into the service to the personality Godhead and pleasing him. And whatever is pleasing him, that's what we do. And in a very elevated stage, like we find the description of the residents of Vrindavan, they're so absorbed in thought of Krishna, that's all they do is whatever. Like the gopis, the classic, one of the classics, is when they decorate themselves, they're thinking, not, you know, Krishna's going to be wooed by my charms. They're thinking, Krishna will be pleased. That's all. And so they decorate themselves. They learn musical arts, not so they can show off their musical skill, so that Krishna will be pleased. It's a different consciousness. It's Krishna should be pleased consciousness. And to the degree that one is absorbed like that, the body becomes spiritualized. That is, the internal potency is acting. Because it's from the soul, it acts upon the covering of the soul. Spiritualized body. That's this touchstone and iron. Iron's just like sitting there. It's just sitting there. At least what I remember from science, when you bring a magnet, it aligns the molecules or whatever it is so that, you know, they're attracted by the lodestone or the touchstone or the magnet, and they line up, and so there's some attraction. So our attraction for Krishna, even from the platform of the body, the senses wanting to do that which is pleasing to Krishna. And not having any interest in doing things not pleasing to Krishna. So in the beginning there's vidhis, do this, don't do that. And in this spontaneous platform, there's no question of doing something that's not pleasing to Krishna. The senses just won't go there. Or the way that, another way of saying the same thing, when Kapiladev describes to Devahuti the platform of devotional service that's beyond the three modes of material nature, he describes the condition of the mind is such that one doesn't have to instruct the mind anymore. My dear mind, here's Krishna's holy name. Please go to the holy name. The mind is gone. Or like that example described yesterday of Gopal saying to Lord Chaitanya, your chanting of the holy name is transcendental. You don't have to hold your tongue when you're evacuating. But his tongue was just wanting to chant, even when anything. Not because, okay, you're supposed to chant. The senses just do those things. That's what he said to Prakashananda Saraswati. He said, don't think that my dancing is like an act. I went to my spiritual master, Ishwara Puri, and said, I don't know what's going on. I think I'm doing something wrong. Well, tell me what I'm doing wrong, because when I chant, I just start to dance and cry and fall on the ground and roll around, and I think I'm losing it. So tell me what I'm doing wrong. He said, oh, my dear son, this is wonderful. It's spontaneous. So in our practice in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada told us that even if you're not feeling ecstasy, dance and you'll feel ecstasy. So that's our vidhi. We dance. But it's not just when there's a nice kirtan and there's, the adrenal system is moving very nicely and so on. It's not that kind of... our process can carry us into to the stages of at least getting a glimpse of what real bhakti is, even though we're sadhakas very covered. So, but we're getting a picture of the advanced stage. Time is not acting, the modes of nature are not acting, karma is not acting. And it's not, those are conditions that are very similar to what's happening within the body of Mahavishnu, for example. Those three things are not acting. But in course of time, they again start acting. This is a situation where they're permanently not going to act anymore. So what's, in short, in conclusion, our objective in Krishna consciousness is to get onto the spiritual platform. Prabhupada has described the four planes of consciousness: bodily, mental, intellectual, and spiritual. Our objective is come to the spiritual platform. We may use the body, mind, and intelligence. That's very nice. Come to the spiritual platform. And our consciousness should go to the spiritual platform. We should perform the activities of body, mind, and intelligence driven by a spiritual conception. And it's because it's good for the soul, it's going to purify the intelligence, the mind, and the body. Spiritualize them. And then in an advanced stage, in the stage of prema bhakti, They're just moving spontaneously, like it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Lord Chaitanya would just go perform his regular duties out of duty, out of like just, he just, because he had done them so many times and many times, he just went and did them. But they, in our case, we do them for purification. In his case, he was doing them just because that's what a perfect soul does. Not to achieve something, or even like to achieve purity. Because of absorption in Krishna. That's our goal, Krishnir Mati, from the previous verse. And then this is the consequence on the spiritual plane. And this very important event, leaving the body. Spiritualizing the body, and leaving the spiritualized body and attaining the spiritual form. Modes not acting. Karma not acting. Time is not acting. Pretty blissful. Okay, so I'll end with that. See if there's some questions or comments.
As you began the class by saying that things that we don't experience, but we can experience them by faith. And things we don't understand, we don't realize, with faith we can understand them.
Yes, yes.
Is that understanding with faith, is it like, is it always like realizing by experience, or it doesn't, you know, you don't have to go through that experience and realize, but just by the faith you can understand?
Well, I've not heard the anatomy of, you know, how that works described by your acharyas, but practical experience says there's at least the concept, you know, it's progressive. The concept becomes clear. Like, so there's theoretical acceptance, there's where the concept becomes clear, and there's the direct experience, even though it's not our sense, you know, through our senses, it's beyond our senses to experience, but it's a spiritual experience. So it's gradations through faith and the progressive purification that comes of the soul through progressive stages of faith up to directly experiencing, although not through these senses.
Like, just an example, that there are certain things that we, Prabhupada said, LSD is bad. So somebody asked Prabhupada that,
okay,
you know, did you taste it? Prabhupada said, no, my disciples tasted it. So one doesn't have to go through that experience to come,
correct,
to that platform.
Correct, correct.
So is that the same thing with dues?
It depends on what the dues are. Like, let's say worship of the deity. We here, the prohibition, don't think of the deity as made of wood, metal, or stone. The deity is actually Krishna. Okay, so that's like the injunction, think of the deity, this is actually Krishna. So that's nice. I can try to orient my mind that way with faith. That's a beginning. But keep going and keep going and keep going, and Prabhupada has explained, Krishna will one day speak with you. And it's not theory anymore, not conceptual or notional. It's a direct experience. Like that. So progressive on the dues side. He's got a question.
Maharaj, devotion service is... I mean, like, if the devotion service has to be ahaitukyana pratihata, is it required that the knot in the heart should be cut? In sense, like, the karma has to be cut to happen like that? Because...
sure.
Without, but which...
The process of devotional service is the knife. The sound vibration that we hear is the knife. And how we receive it with devotion is the sharpened knife. Sure.
I have another question. So we see that this karma doesn't act for a pure devotee. I mean, like, though he is in this body, the body is getting eliminated. Actually, this the matter surrounding him is just getting eliminated, basically. That's what I understood. Like, but there are some devotees like Haridas Thakur or Bhishma who have this Ichha Shakti to leave the body when they want to leave. And Narada didn't exhibit this kind of thing. He just kind of waited for until the Lord. I just wanted to understand, like, what was the difference? Were they yogis or like Haridas Thakur, when he was beaten in the marketplaces, he decided in order to save those jailers, he kind of gives up with the body, or he goes into a trance and he jumps into the river. And so I just wanted to ask, like,
the pastimes are clear, but your question isn't clear. Say it succinctly.
Is it Ichha Shakti? I mean, like, some pure devotees exhibit Ichha Shakti of giving up the body when they want to have.
It's a gift. My understanding is something like that is a gift. Like what Chaitanya said to, what's his name, the Kashmiri, Keshava Kashmiri. Keshava Kashmiri said, how is it that you remembered, you know, verse 57 out of 100 verses I was speaking as fast as the wind? And Lord Chaitanya's reply was, the Supreme Lord gives some persons the capacity to speak Sanskrit like the blowing wind, and some to remember such. It's a vibhuti. Gift of the Supreme Lord. So that gift can be given to this one, that one, to give up their body at will. And some persons don't have that same gift. That's how I see it. Not like that means they're more spiritual than the next person or something. It's a gift, a unique gift. That help? Okay. Yes.
Maharaj, my question is from previous class. You mentioned about sthane sthita.
Yeah.
So, I see in the most of the valuable energy of the day is goes in that walking outside, and we can take it as a, because it requires for the purification.
Yes.
So is it okay the same time praying to Krishna, get opportunity for the direct? Using that energy in future in the in direct services.
Well, sure. But if you're going to pray like that, you got to have a lot of patience. May my consciousness evolve to the stage where this is no longer my adhikar. The present is, this is my adhikar. This is my adhikar means right, but it also means qualification. So if I, in my present stage, try to not do what I'm doing and do something else, it would be artificial, and I'd fall down. So let me not imitate what's not my qualification. Let me act according to my qualification. May one day that qualification be, now I no longer have this qualification, I have another qualification. I can simply, directly, may that day come. That's fine. But let it not be something that's hurried or artificial or imitative. May that day come when we can all take part in Krishna's eternal pastimes and our spiritual forms. Pray like that. May that day come. In Narada's case, he was told that's what's going to happen. So may that day come. Something else? Two hands back here.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, would you explain connection between vidhi and samskaras?
Vidhis and samskaras.
Yes.
They're unrelated, so I'll just give their definition.
Thank you, Maharaj. Yes, that's what I wanted.
They're unrelated. Vidhi means rules, things to be done, procedures to be followed, injunctions that are obligatory. That's vidhis. And samskaras is something else over here. It's impressions. It can be elevating impressions. It can be degrading impressions. It means impressions. The elevating ones are what we're more familiar with. And so there are recommended ones, especially, primarily. And there's others besides those primary ones. But that's what samskara means. It's impression. I think of it like this. Not like a rubber stamp on a piece of paper, but where there's something soft and like, you know, the impression of Prabhupada's feet. Kaladri Prabhu described, he was the fortunate one to take the soft clay and press Prabhupada's feet in the soft clay and then carefully remove his feet so they could take those impressions and then make molds of those impressions so we could in each temple have impressions of Prabhupada's feet. That's what I think of when I think of what samskar mean. Last question, because it's already time. No.
Okay.
Last question, it's already time to go.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
The result of the devotion to the Lord is the more devotion on the Lord. But why Lord is removing the karma to the devotees, Maharaj?
I don't get it. Did you get it?
The
result of devotion is more devotion. And therefore?
Why Lord is removing the karma to the devotees?
Why?
Lord is removing the karma.
Why does he?
The bad karma of the law, to the devotees. Lord is removing the karma.
I don't understand your question. It sounds like it's a false premise. It's not only he removes the bad karma, he removes everything that's material, which is good karma, bad karma, and mix. Takes away, you know, it's a total cleanse. Okay, let's go greet the deities. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.